What? We could be there. Then again, we could not. I have to look. But our affiliate in London is enjoying our tapes. The affiliate, Rafiomi. He started from Brachas. I charged him $2.50 a tape. It's almost, because it's basically cost. But he started from Brachas and he says he's enjoying them, so that's good.
He got it from when you were there.
Yes. He actually, my article in the Jewish Observer was reprinted in the British Aguda paper, the Jewish Tribune. And this fellow is not an Agudist. He's a son-in-law of Rabbi Avner Weiss from Beverly Hills. He was showed this article by a friend of his, and he said, "Oh, if somebody taught that Yom Yerushalmi in England, I would for sure go." And little did he know that I would be a guest at his house for lunch the following month. Yes. And then he said, "Look, I have to put my money where my mouth is. If you have tapes, I'll take them." So I sent him the first 86 tapes already. He started learning. He emailed me today with his own new theories about Yerushalmi. He asked me if it's true, if it's correct to say that 80% of the Yerushalmi is to be found in the Bavli, and that the Bavli serves as the basis of the Yerushalmi. No, the other way. If you know the Yerushalmi, you know 80% of the Bavli. The Yerushalmi serves as the basis of the Bavli. So I said, I don't think it's 80%. It's probably something less, probably more like 50%. And also, it's certainly not the same style. So, it's true, but to a much more limited extent, people think. Although in Brach, it's probably more true than other places in Shas. But yeah, no shock. That's why I wrote him. There's no shock of the Tari at all. So all of that you're missing in the Bavli. Yeah. So we are now on Daf Samech Amud Aleph. Halacha Gimel. Hakorei B'Sefer. I think next Monday or Tuesday, next Tuesday or Wednesday, actually, we finished the Sechta. Hakorei B'Sefer. Alei Skupa. If somebody reads a book on a ledge, he's on a ledge. Now, this ledge, the Gemara is going to say, is a ledge which is problematic. The question is how he got there. The first place on Shabbos, because seeing it's a ledge, it's a Carmelis. So Hakorei B'Sefer Alei Skupa, and he's Galga B'Sefer Miyodo. The book fell off his out of his hand. Goloet, so he's allowed to wind it back towards him. Hayakoy Bereisho Gabro Shagag. If it's reading on top of a roof, which is okay, it's a Shusa Yochid. But then, on the other hand, this guy goes say from Yodo, the book rolls down. In both instances, it's rolling into a Shusa Rabim. But in the ratio, it's rolling from a Karbalist into a Shusa Rabim, which is relatively similar. The same is rolling from a Shusa Yochid into a Shusa Rabim, which is bad news, because you can come to the Raisas here. So from the same, we're more Machmir. You can't wind it back. Rather, actually, Gila starts falling Golo Wetzla. If it's less than 10 foot, more than 10 foot on the ground, you can rewind it, because it's still Mokum Tur. Mishigila, so once he reaches 10 foot in the ground, above the ground, hopefully, you turn it upside down, you leave it there until after Shabbos. Rabbi Omer, if you ain't a misluk minoret el kumlom moli chut, even if it's only a hair breadth off the ground, it's now no anocha. Golo Wetzla, you can wind it back towards you. Rabbi Shimon Omer, if you look at Atzma, even in the on the ground itself. Why? Because it's not true hanochel. What's true hanochel? When it left the original domain and is in the new domain. But here it's still in the old domain at the same time and it's in the new domain. So that's not truly a doraisa. That's a derabbanon. No derabbanon supersedes the holiness of Scripture. Okay? Now, says the Gemara, Mastisi biskuba mutzinit. Now, this is a very strange language here. Everybody has difficulty with it, but conceptually, it's a very logical discussion here. Mastisi biskuba muteres. Avachutzi skupa asur. Which really what the Yerushalmi means to say is, how did he get the scoop in the first place? The scoop is mutter, beyond the scoop is also, the scoop is also karmelis. How did he get to the scoopa? So the way to read it is, masnisin, because scoopa uteris, you're allowed to get the scoopa, of chutzah scoopa also, the scoopa itself is a karmelis in the reisha. That's all ish, that's the difference between the reisha and the seifa. There's some reishas between a karmelis shusarabim, same between a reisha siyachim shusarabim. So this is why he forgot. He was sitting there for before Shabbos began. The shachach votzio, and he forgot. And well, literally it says he went out or he left it there. Whatever the case may be, the bottom line is that he somehow got there inadvertently, and now on Shabbos he wrote it falls out of his hand when he's sitting on the skupa. Okay.
There's no answer to get it. It's just bringing the same.
The karmelis. How did he get there? Oh, he brought the sefer there, obviously, right. Made the sefer there? Okay, you can say that too. A variation on the same thing. The same idea. Okay, actually, Gila Sarat Vahim, before we, if it doesn't reach 10th volume, the ground, go that so you can wind it back. Mishigila Sarat Vahim, once it reaches 10th volume, the ground, also it's forbidden. Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Hashem, Rabbi Yasso says, Rabbi Yehuda. This is going like Rabbi Yehuda, Domar, also Lishtamesh, Bahavir Sarat Vahim, you hold 10th volume in the ground, it's already considered to be like the ground. We don't pass it in that way, certainly not by Rishus Harabim. Rishus Harabim at most, not much from the ground is like the ground. Three tefachim, but he bats it that way, and therefore he asks you to roll it back. Mishigia asar tefachim, hopefully I'll turn it upside down. Lama white turn upside down, shalis bazak sab, so that the writing does not get denigrated by facing upwards. Vasya kedemar Rabbi Acho, it goes like Rabbi Acho said, Rashu and name Rashu Abar Nachman, Sefer Shein Elav Mapa, the Sefer has no cloth covering it. Hopefully I'll turn it upside down, shalis bazak sab, in order that the writing should not be embarrassed. Rabbi Yomer, if you lay him, look, Mino, even if it's the air breadth of the ground, that's sufficient. Says Mar Machavish, it's not the Rabbi Yomer, it's a contradiction to Rabbi Yomer's own words elsewhere. Tam Rama Asulish Tarish Boavir Asara. Elsewhere, he says you're not allowed to use it in 10 Fakim in the ground. Meaning that's very considered to be as if it's in Rosh Hashanah. The Kar Marche here says even if it's air breadth of the ground, it's okay to roll it back. Rabbi Yochanan, let's go and Rabbi Yomer, Rabbi Meir. It was a mistake, it's a typo, it's not Rabbi Yomer, it's Rabbi Meir. Okay? That was easy, right? Divrei Chachamim, the rabbi said, Divrei Chachamim is a prelude to the next section. Divrei Chachamim, the rabbi said, the rabbi is a base medish, Rabbi Yisrael Sherbi Yochan, lo sof tov, her sefer is not just about sefer Torah. Shouldn't think it's only the Kedush of sefer Torah. Afilu psukai, even a bundle of psukim, you know, not an entire sefer Torah, which falls, the same parameters apply that we don't want it to be mevuzeh, to be degraded. Okay? Easy Gemara tonight. Except one Gemara which Lieberman says one of the hardest in all of Yerushalmi. But it's relatively easy. Ziz Shalifni Achalon. Hey, Ziz. I'm not frightened anymore. He said Erevin is going to be the hardest Masech in Yerushalmi. Did you find it particularly hard? You find it very hard? Yeah. Right. But it's. Yeah, it's really not that hard. Big Tamid Chachamim like us, we have no problems with this, right? Zish Livni Achalon. You have a little ledge in front of a window. No Silov, no Limeda. But Shabbos, you'll have to take and put the stuff off and put stuff on Shabbos. Now, Lomar El Achaz, only if there's one Rishus using it. Meaning one window, one ledge. However, Avo Shtayim also, right? Two windows, one ledge, you can't do it. Change the Rishus, Mishnah Shul Rishus Achaz. You can't have two Rishus, losing one Rishus unless they have what? An Eruv, right? They have to have an Eruv. They don't have an Eruv. They can't both use the same Rishus, right? So now, there are a few typos. Gilian Ephraim, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, they all changed the Gemara here. B'sheyeshba, it should be B'sheyeshba and Rochavar, but it's only if they're four tefachim wide, the ledges. Then, if two Rishus use it, two Rishus have access, neither can use it. Because what's the status of that ledge then? If it is four tefachim wide, assuming it's more than 10 tefachim off the ground. No. If it's four tefachim wide, it's Rishus HaYochid. Right? So therefore, it's Rishus HaYochid, which must be subservient to one or the other. It can't be used by both, right? If it was a makom tur, you could use it. That's why they changed the gears here. However, ain, not yesh, ain by emroch of arba, if it's less than four, then it's a makom tur. That's a ravachus, the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Zizun uksolim. Ledges and walls. Shigvoin also, which are 10 tefachim high. Rechavin arba. I'm sorry, typo again. Ve'en rechavin arba. And they're not 4 tefachim wide. Meaning they're mokum tour. Less than 4 by 4 tefachim. Mutar lekar lekar of actual yachlim. Each one can use the ledge as long as you don't use the ledge to transport objects from one rishus to the other. But you can use each one can use the ledge independently. So it's only if it's not a mokum tour that it's a problem. It's a mokum tour. They both can use it. Okay. Omer rishus yachlim. What?
Can they use it jointly as well?
I mean simultaneously.
Yeah.
Yeah. As long as they don't trade objects here. Okay? I'm an Adam Shusa Yochin without the Shusa Rabbi. A person stands in Shusa Yochin and carries in Shusa Rabbi. In other words, I'm standing here. This is my Shusa Yochin, this is Shusa Rabbi. I stand here and I carry stuff here, right? Or vice versa. As long as it's not, you don't carry more than four amos. Now, as the Gemara will point out, this is out of order here, right? Because that can't be going on. Because there are no limitations there. Rather, this is going back on the ratio. A guy who stands Shusa Yochid and carries Shusa Rabim, that he should have moved more than four amos, right? The Gemara is going to point that out. That the condition at the conditional clause at the end really reverts back, it's referring back to the ratio. Lo yamar adam Shusa Yochid, a person should not stand Shusa Yochid, be yashdim Shusa Rabim, and urinate in Shusa Rabim. Or stand in Shusa Rabim, be yashdim Shusa Yochid, urinate in Shusa Yochid, because that's like Otsa. The Chayin Yorah can tell you shouldn't spit from around one Rishus to another Rishus. Now we don't have Abmish a very big Chumra. Abmish a Nitlash Rokom Bepiv. Even somebody whose saliva separated his mouth. Loi Halich Arba Amish Tad Shiorik. He should not walk for Amish until he spits. Okay? Mora is going to mitigate that a little bit. Now, says Mora, Lo Sof Dovar. This, it's a funny language. Lo Sof Dovar usually in the Bible means. This is not the ultimate extent. It goes further. That's what literally the phrase lo sof davar means in Bavli. Here it really means lo sof davar, this clause at the end is not going on the end. Lo sof davar. It's not going on the end. It's going previously in the Mishnah. And here we have a lot of typos again. It should be oimei b'yushus ha-yochid. Instead of oimei b'yushus ha-yochid, it should be oimei. Everyone says yochid, change to rabim, rabim to yochid. You get the idea. Oimei b'yushus ha-rabim, from stand shus ha-rabim, who metalte b'yushus ha-yochid, carries b'yushus ha-yochid, which is the same for the Mishnah, really should be the ratio. And b'yushus ha-yochid, who metalte b'yushus ha-rabim, b'yushus ha-yochid, and carries b'yushus ha-rabim, which is the ratio of the Mishnah, should be the safer. And on that second case, on that pertains the clause, the Vach lo yotzi chutzar b'amos. They shouldn't even establish the seal, you shouldn't carry more than four amos in the Rishus Rabim in which you are making the carrying. Amar Rav, Rav said, Masiso Amar Kate, I have another case like this where we have a convoluted Mishnah. James, the only convoluted Mishnah in Shas, there are many convoluted Mishnah in Shas, I got another one for you. Similarly, lo yamar adam Rishus Yochid, a person should not stand in Rishus Yochid. Now let's talk about a case. So we have this in the Bavli too. I think it's a Mishnah, so obviously we have the Bavli. A person standing with Shusa Yochid. He has a fence over here. I'm standing with Shusa Yochid. This is my fence. Here's Shusa Rabbi. The keyhole is over here. So I stand here and I go like this. You remember the right picture. I stand here and I go like this. So lo yamod adam b'shus ha-yachid, person not stand b'shus ha-yachid, b'yivtah b'shus ha-rabim, or vice versa, b'shus ha-rabim, b'yivtah b'shus ha-yachid, if the key is on the inside. The stand b'shus ha-rabim, open b'shus ha-yachid, because they're afraid you're going to take the key back and forth. Eli kein, unless, also lo mechitza gvah asar ha-tvachim, unless you made a 10 tefachim high wall. Now what's this, where's the 10 tefachim, which case is the 10 tefachim high wall going on? It's going on the ratio. That where it says you should stand Shusa Yochid and open Shusa Rabim. That there you have to have a wall. Right? If you're standing with Shus HaYochid and you open Shus HaRabim, there you should have a wall. It's going on in that case in the Reisha. The case of Sefer, standing with Shus HaRabim, opening with Shus HaYochid, what do you need the wall for? You're opening inside the wall. The wall's not going to do you anything, right? So the only case where it's relevant to have a wall is where you're standing in Rishus HaYochid and opening Rishus HaRabim, there you have to make an additional wall. So this case, so this is also a case where the condition of making a wall pertains to the ratio where you're going out and opening from the outside as opposed to coming in and opening on the inside. Okay?
So that
case
in effect makes it
Rishus HaYochid. Okay? Says Gemara, Rav Amar, Rav says, this is going back to our Divrei Meir. This is all Kornrei Meir. Rav Amar Bepicha. Now this is going back to our Mishnah. And he's saying, not every saliva you have to spit out the moment it forms in your mouth. It's a big kula here. I don't think we have this in the Bible. At least I don't remember it. But although there is an asterisk here. But in any event, it means only phlegm. And in fact, Lieberman brings a different gear, so kicha, which is like kicho venio. It means phlegm. So it has to be actually not just saliva, because saliva itself is okay. So about saliva, which is already formed like a phlegm in the mouth. Okay? So Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Picha, Rabbi Yochanan Bepicha, Amar Picha, to locate, because they don't say that, Rabbi Yehuda Kedaite. Rabbi Yehuda's not going like his normal logic. It's Bitmios. Rabbi Yehuda follows his line of reasoning. Dara Mashka Tofei Achibur. Rabbi Yehuda holds, whenever you have moist liquid, so it all is considered attached to one another. So therefore the saliva in the mouth. Yeah. So after the saliva mouth is all considered to be continuous as long as it's all moist. So therefore there's no reason to have to spit it out because really it remains part of the saliva in your mouth. The only time it's considered distinct and separate is if it already is in the substance or in the form of phlegm. So a form of phlegm, then it's a problem.
So after,
you look fascinated by this. Okay. If aside for psychological reasons, what a
yeah.
It's got to be halachic. It's got to be halachic. Yeah. Kudasik. Kudachis. Yeah. Isn't Rabbi Meir the one who says Gudachis there? Rabbi Yehuda says Gudachis? He could have. I don't know. It's a good question. Lichora Gudachis and Mashkut the Fayachibur should be the same thing. In other words, yeah. I don't know. I don't remember. Where is that? It's in Chulin? It's on a Chulin also? I seem to remember that the Achronim discussed it, so it's probably. Alright, yeah, okay. In any event, that could be an explanation that when the guy's coming out of the mikveh, so all the water on him is mashka tofei achibur. It's probably the same thing, gurachis usually doesn't mean that, gurachis usually aloch michitzas. I realize that, but probably if we used a few sledgehammers, we could make it fit somehow. But it's a good point. Okay, lo sof tovar amei b'shus yachin, match b'shus harabim. Getting back to the urinating guy, it's not just that you should urinate sarab b'shus yachin and urinate b'shus harabim. That's for shteitz achoser. It's obviously forbidden. El afilu oimei b'shus harabim. U'mashti b'shus harabim. You stand b'shus harabim, you urinate b'shus harabim. V'mizgalgali v'yordim b'shus yachin, and your urine flows into b'shus yachin. That is also awesome. Big chumrah. Okay? Well, so it's good to have bathrooms. I'm Rabbi Yossi, very good. Vice versa. Lo sof tovar oimei b'shus harabim, mashti b'shus hayachid. It's not just bad to stand on shus harabim, your name is shus hayachid. I feel oimei b'shus hayachid. You stand on shus hayachid, mashti b'shus hayachid, and your name is shus hayachid. Mizgalgalim v'yoyim b'shus harabim, and they flow out through shus harabim. It's also awesome. Okay? So very big chumras. I'm Rabbi Yossi, Adar Marah. This teaches us. Silon, if you have a jet, meaning a canal, like a pipe. Pipe is a better word. Home is Shusarabim, which stands Shusarabim. Gavo Asar Brachavarba, which is 10th volume wide, 4th volume wide, means it's the dimension of Shusayachit. And Trevon Lesochomai, you can't pour water into it. Shem is Gagam Yoin, because they're going to roll out into the Shusarabim. Okay? Halacha Vav. I'm going far too fast tonight. I don't know what to do about this. Yaakov might actually finish my 10 set. A person should not stand in Rishus HaYachid and drink in Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim Yishter Rishus HaYachid. Or stand in Rishus HaRabim and drink in Rishus HaYachid. Okay, and here this Rosh of Ruba Lamokum Shu Shoyse. You got to put the head and the majority of your torso into the place where you're drinking. Okay? Because otherwise they're afraid. We'll see. They might as well be afraid. V'chein Begas. That's true about a wine press also, but that's not about Shabbos, but about Meiser. Because if you stick your head out of the wine press, so then you drink the wine becomes Chayv and Meiser. If you want to be exempt from Meiser, you have to make sure that the head and majority of your torso are in the wine press, so it's considered to be Shisias Arai, temporary drinking. Now, here comes the difficult part of the halacha. Koilet Oda Min HaMaschela. Imagine you have a drain pipe coming off a roof. Okay, common everyday occurrence. A person can catch the water off the drain pipe, but he has to be more than 10 tefachim down. He has to be more than 10 tefachim down from the pipe. In other words, he cannot put his mouth right next to the pipe. If you depict in your mind's eye a drug, a gutter, a leader, right? That's what they call leaders around your roof. What are they called? Gutters or leaders? Leaders, right? Whatever. The gutter? Okay, you got the gutter on your roof, and you put your mouth right to it to drink. It's awesome. Why? Because that's if you're mamish being moitzi from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. Because you're standing with Rishus HaRabim and drinking off Rishus HaYachid. So if you have to wait till the water comes down to more than 10 fucking beneath the roof, only then can you start drinking it. Okay? You can't put your mouth right by the gutter. No, because that's that your whole yard, I assume, is just young. Otherwise, how'd you carry it into your sukkah? It would be the same thing if your yard was just a rabbi or carmelis. Okay? So, mikamakom shoyse. You can drink. From anywhere. Now, the way it's not clear what mikomakom means here. The mikomakom seems to me, the way the Bnei Moshe explains it, that this story about if the pipeline is less than 4x4, so then it doesn't look like it's a Rishus HaYachid. So then, if the pipe or the gutter is less than 4x4, you could drink even by putting your mouth right next to it, because it doesn't look like Moti Rishus Lushus, because less than 4x4 is not a Rishus. Okay? Now, I understand that you shouldn't stand with Shusha Yachid, drink with Shusha Rabbi. But with Shusha Rabbi, you stand with Shusha Yachid. But why can't you drink in standing with Shusha Rabbi and drink with Shusha Yachid? Ain't people amalim yasur at Fachim? Isn't your mouth above 10 Fachim? So what's your mouth? Are you 4x4? Maybe I am, but you're not. What is it? Malkum Tur. Yes. You're above 10 tefachim, less than 4x4. Your head is certainly less than 4x4. So then, if your head is less than 4x4, so it's a Malkum Tur, what's the problem? You're standing with Shusha Rabim, but your head is above 10 tefachim. You're drinking from a Shusha Yachid, so you're going for a Shusha Yachid, the Malkum Tur. What's wrong with that picture? Says Yushalmi, amazing answer. Shani Ushim is called to the Yordim. Water does not stay in the mouth. Where does the water go? It rolls down into your stomach, and your stomach is below 10 tefachim. So where is the fascinating thing? I remember this from the Bavli. Maybe you guys remember. No. So the Anocha is not in your mouth. The Anocha is... The Chaim Kanievsky says he actually had it earlier in the Masechta, but I don't recall that either. The Anocha is actually considered to be in your stomach. And your stomach is within the 10 tefachim of Rishus HaRabim. So that's why now to drink. Right? Because you're going from the Rishus HaYachid, which is the roof, through your mouth, into the Rishus HaRabim, which is your stomach. Okay? What? I don't know. People were short in the old days. It's not so high. 40 inches, it's not so... it's possible.
but we've had that concept that you don't make
the intestines.
Your body doesn't make enough until it swallows.
Until it swallows, but no, we didn't really. We always thought swallowing means here, you know, going down into the trachea. But you'd say it's actually the stomach itself. That's when that nochah. The esophagus, sorry. Yes. Try to sound educated and sound ignorant. All right. Says Maratani. Gomel Shirosho. Now, a camel, of course, its stomach is above 10 tefachim. For sure. Okay? Camels, basketball players, they would have a special answer. Tani, Gomel Shirosho. What?
Giraffes.
Tani, Gomel Shirosho Ruvivnim. A camel whose the head and majority of its torso is within. In Rishus Yoach, Malita no Sovivnim, you give it to eat within the Rishus Yoach. Miva Chutz, if the head and majority of its torso is the outside, Malita no Sovivchutz, you give it to eat and drink on the outside. Licha Mivnim, Malita no Sovivnim, I understand Rishus Yoach, you should give it to drink, to eat and drink in Rishus Yoach. Because you don't want it to take up from Rishus Yoach to Rishus Rabbi. Ella, I'm sorry, Miva Chutz. Malitin also b'chutz, but if it's on the outside, you must feed it on the outside. Ain piv l'mala me'asara. Me'asara tefachim, is the mouth above 10 tefachim. And what the Gemara leaves unstated, of course, is that the stomach is also above 10 tefachim. So why is it a problem of it giving it to eat in Rishus HaRabim, even when it's knocking the stomach is above 10 tefachim? The Gemara doesn't answer the question. Well, let's answer the question. Rabbi Yisrael Abun Mechava Shmaitze. Rabbi Yisrael Abun, he contradicted himself. The thing is, he said, Mechava Shmaitze of Rabbi Yaakov Baracha. Rabbi Yaakov Baracha contradicted himself. Now, what the problem is, as Lieberman points out, we don't have the contradiction here, because the Gemara is missing. He said one thing, and then he contradicted himself, but we only have the second part, the contradiction, not the baseline statement. Lochin amar Rabbi Yaakov Baracha b'sher mechina, sheko shlosho shlosho shayt smuchin mechitza kemechitza. Everything which is within three walls of a wall is considered to be the wall. So if that's the case, when you get the water off the when you get the water from the gutter, so the gutter is part of Rishus HaYachid. Since the gutter is within three tefachim of Rishus HaYachid, so it's part of Rishus HaYachid. So how can you gather the waters which are coming down from the gutter, even if you're lower down, right? It looks like you're getting some Rishus HaYachid. Tipata b'yetzei chutz l'shleishah. So we say, it's talking about a gutter, which is more than three tefachim longer than the edge of the roof, and ain't bo arba, v'shem bo rochav arba. It's not four tefachim wide. So it's not actually, the gutter itself is not a Rishus HaYachid, right? The gutter itself extends beyond the roof, and it's more than three tefachim longer than the roof, and less than four tefachim wide. So it itself, at worst, is a makom ptur, not a Rishus HaYachid mamish. So in that case, you're not taking Rishus HaYachid, and that's okay. You're allowed to catch the water in that case. Even still, they made you go more than 10 tefachim below it, but you're allowed to catch the water. Okay? Not kana. Now, along these lines, we have a fascinating question. You stuck a pole, v'kiva mechitza, and you surround it with a wall. Now the pole itself is not a Rishus HaYachid, but it's within a Rishus HaYachid. Right, it's not 4x4, but it's a Rishus HaYachid. It extends above the walls of Rishus HaYachid. No, it's going to be kiva mechitza. V'zorg Rishus Rayin Tocho. Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar Omer. Yitzchak ben Elazar said, Kim machlokes. This is a machlokes. Meaning that the question is when something when something rests. Well, though we don't bring down the machlokas here, the Korban Eder brings down the machlokas. When something doesn't rest on a place which is 4x4, but it rests in Rishus HaYachid, does that consider to be anoch to be mechayev you or not? So it doesn't rest in place 4x4 because the pole is very narrow, but it is encompassed by Rishus HaYachid. So therefore, the question with the Yechayim in this case, now he says it's a machlokas. So that's why, how can you say it's a machlokas? Hey, sir, Rabbi Yuna asked what he did. We learn, hey, so many as Rosh Hagag. So, Lom, this is a question. Woman standing on the top of a roof. Mizarkula, and he throw a get at her. So came and shegil avir gagarez migureshes. Once the get reaches the airspace of the roof, she's migureshes. So we have to, once it reaches the airspace, even though it's not on a mokum dalet, yishmi chayev. What's the difference between the two cases? Says more there, it's different. Rabbi Amraileza mastisi amra begag sheish lo makeh. It's talking about a roof which has a parapet. It's got a tent to have a high parapet. And Bushiyar live your makeh. It went down into the makeh. In other words, it's within the airspace defined by the walls. In a chanami, that case is not an issue. My question is where you have a pole which extends above the walls of Rosh Hashanah, what's the status on the top of the pole? Okay? Visha'elo makeh. And if it doesn't, continuing on in that vein of the roof, if it doesn't have a parapet wall around it, shiur alive in shloisha shein smucha legat, then it's about a case where the get is within 3 tvachim of the rooftop. Shekol shloisha smucha legat, lekigag, and it also, anything which is in 3 tvachim of the roof is like the roof itself. So the mice, we never come out with a conclusion. We never resolve the question. Although in the Bible, this question is very clearly resolved. We hold avir shloisha yochid oila and rakia. Once you have airspace of Rishus Yochid, it's Oil Rekia, and it's command the Malia Damu, right? Everything which lands within it is considered to be, anything which comes in is considered to be Munach. So, but the Baal Yushami never comes to that conclusion.
I don't know what, the Yushami doesn't have a conclusion.
It says, well, Amr Bechia Bechem Begas, Nidim Meiser, that which you said in our Mishnah, that the same thing is true about a vineyard, that wine press, it's about Meiser. Now you take your head out, you're Chayim and Meiser. No, it's not. By the catch is Mikureshus. Yeah. Although, yeah, it's not Kinyan Chutzer, it's Shmiras, I get. She has to have the getter within her jurisdiction, but I don't think that. I don't remember the Yushami or anything. They will find that, but not them aware. Okay, now we're up to the part which Lieberman says is one of the hardest Yushamis in all of Shas. This from here to the Mishnah. Okay? Basically, he says none of them force you to know what's like. Which is probably true. It's very difficult to learn. Even with Reb Chaim Kanievsky, it's very difficult. But it's short. It's only a few lines. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda said, our mission is Rabbi Meir. Basically, the way to learn the next part is to just assume that the Yushami didn't know the previous sugya. It's like, you know, cut and paste. They took something which didn't know the previous sugya and put it here. Because before we said a raid, the drain pipe is coming off the roof, right? It's more than 3 tvachim off the roof. We're just ignoring that. We're going back to the drain pipe being mamish affixed to the roof. The thing is, the drain pipe itself is not 4 by 4 tvachim. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Meir, Yidomar Atroes HaKoyso Kigomu. You see the wall as if it's carved. Meaning, the drain pipe itself is like this, right? Next to it, you have a roof. So how do you make a platform 4x4? Rameirot, if you have an archway, which is not the proper dimension. So you look at it as if you carved the archway, right? It's like one of these halachic, legal fixtures or halachic imagery, right? So you're like, gudasik, the same idea. So chokim lashkim is a similar concept. You look at it as if it's the right dimension. So tier, you say the same thing. Even though the drain pipe is not itself the dimension of shusayachid, you make the dimension of shusayachid by carving into the roof, and then makes it as if it's 4x4. Okay? So then the roof is takar shusayachid. If the roof is shusayachid, then that he holds his exer of our Mishnah. Before we said, if it's mamash or shusayachid, what's the answer altogether? But he's saying, no, our Mishnah is talking about takar shusayachid, and it's still mutter to take the water when it drips off, right? But how did the roof become Rishus HaYochid? So that he says, by Choykim Lashlim, like right there. Okay? Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Shem, said, no, Divya Koyli, can be going like everybody, does that be going like right there. Be Mishtapei HaSol, Tvachim B'Tarek Shlosha. Now, if you remember, the Shita of Yushami in several places was that the Shear of Telem is Lakit, which is considered to be not a wall, it's not 4 Amos in 10 Tvachim length, but rather 3 amos height in 10 tvachim length, right? Which is a more gradual angle. So it's talking about where the drain pipe didn't even go at such an angle. It was a very gradual drain pipe. And it was basically flush with the roof of the roof of the roof of the house. So therefore, it's, you don't have to say chokim lashvut. It's part and parcel of the roof, and therefore it's considered to be a rishus liyachid. Okay, Rabbi Yosi boy, Rabbi Yosi asked, "Ime mishnaper asar mitvorim mitolch b'shlosha ki gakein." I'm sorry, wrong inflection. Rabbi Yosi boy, "Ime mishnaper asar mitolch b'shlosha ki gakein." If that's the case, that we have such a gradual slope, so our Mishnah is not telling what, forget about the drain pipe, it's a regular case of taking something off a roof. There's a master rule for the Mishnah, it's so special halacha about drain pipes. If you have a drain pipe which goes up at such a gradual incline, it's not a special halacha about drain pipes. It's a regular rooftop halacha. Says Gemara, Manon Tamon. Now, out of left field, the Gemara goes back to the previous Mishnah to bring it in here. What do we say over there? Manon is like matnan, right? Matnan tamon. What do we learn over there, Peace Mishnah? By the Sefer Torah which rolls off the roof, right? She'eno tzorich nicha. That it doesn't have to rest on the ground. Meaning that that there's considered to be akira off the roof, even though it's no anocha, right? There's akira, even though it's not anocha, and that's why now it's rolled back, right? So says the Gemara, at nicha. One second. What?
One second.
Yeah, mana tamon she'eno tzorich nicha. There, where it doesn't rest on the ground. Sorry, I made a mistake. Mana tamon. I keep pointing out. I stopped middle sentence. I got confused. Mana tamon she'eno tzorich nicha. There, it says it doesn't touch the ground. Eno tzorich nicha means it doesn't touch the ground. We said there's a thin hairbreadth between it and the ground. At armor at shioniach. You say until it rests in the ground, you're allowed to move it up. Can no, I still.
One second.
I know what I want to say, but I'm trying to fit into the words. It's not working. Let me try one more time. Ma'anan tamar. What did he say over there? She'enot tzorich nicha. We are. What really means she'enot tzorich nicha is that there was an akira. There's no she'enot tzorich nicha. I don't know exactly how to translate literally. Literally means it doesn't require resting. What it means is that there was an akira, right? The Sefer Torah came off the roof, right? So then at Omer Shiniach you say you're allowed to roll it up unless it's knock on the ground. Kach tzorich nicha here where there was no akira. Right? I understand how it translates. There, ein tzorich nicha, it's not lacking hanocha. Where's not lacking hanocha? The starting point. Not at the end point. At the end point, it's not munach. Meaning it started from stationary. Right? Started from stationary on top of the roof and it rolled down. Ein tzorich nicha, it's not lacking hanocha. It was munach on the roof. It rolled down. As long as you don't have another hanocha, you're allowed to roll it up. Right? So here, why are you not allowed to catch it? Here, Khan, the catch it, tzorich nicha. Was the water munach on the roof? No, what was the water doing on the roof? It was flowing. It never stopped on the roof. The rain came down, it started flowing. There's no anoch on the roof. So if there's no anoch on the roof, why are you not allowed to catch it? Catch it, tzorich nicha, lo koshki, you should certainly be allowed to catch it. If there, you're allowed to roll back, even though it started from anocha, and therefore there was a valid akira, sorry, it's stationary, then start moving, you're still allowed to roll back, here where it was never stationary on the roof. So why are you not allowed to catch it? What's the problem? There's no akira. Normally, when we make a gzeil drabonon, so it means you have half a malacha, we're afraid you can complete a whole malacha. But here, it's not trying to complete a whole malacha, right? There, by Kisei HaKodesh, even though we had half a melacha, the Akira, we're still allowed to roll back up. But here, you don't even have half a melacha. There's no Akira, so what's wrong with him catching it on the ground? There's no way he could ever come to be chayiv in this case. So says the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Chinuch Kuri Rabbi Mona. Rav Chaya said in front of Raimona, Mikol Makom, nevertheless, Lo Nach. There is there's no Hanach. Over there, there's a hair breadth between in the ground. Never got Muno. Here, there is Hanocha. Where's Hanocha? In his mouth. That's enough to make a Gzeira. We really learned at the beginning of the Masechta. You know, you have the Ani and the Ashir, or not this Masechta, the last Masechta, in Shabbos, right? The Ani and the Ashir. So really, we answer half a Malacha in and of itself. Even though the guy who does Hanocha, let's say the Ani, you know, does Hanocha without Akira, the Baal Bais does Hanocha without Akira. It's also, even though it's only half a Malacha, and it cannot come to Shabbos. But Hanocha there is, and that is enough to make it Xera. Okay? On Malay, so it says, Na'a. We came and she'em baruch of arbo, afilu nach, kilu lo nach. I don't accept that. Since the gutter, was not fourth fucking wide, so therefore, even if it's not in the guy's mouth, or in the guy's stomach, it's still not considered to be a proper hanocha. Now, normally by Surah and Shabbos we make such a xeris, so the Stipler son is a little bit has difficulty with this. He says, it must be that he's saying, and in water we shouldn't make such a decree. In water to drink, we shouldn't make a decree. Since there's no way that the Akira should be considered valid, even though elsewhere we do make xeris under these circumstances, here, for a person to drink on Shabbos, we shouldn't make such a xeris. That actually is not bad. I'm quite pleased with myself. Let's go back for a minute and read it over again, just to make sure it goes smoothly. Now, says Rabbi Omer, the Rabbi Meir, we see the walls as if it's cut, and that's why it's sure there's hanoch on top. Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Shemuel said, no, divrei hakol, it doesn't have to be like cut. It's like everybody, it's gradual, and that's why it's munach. Rabbi Yossi said it's not talking about that point. It's like a roof. You don't have. It's obvious. That's partial. That it's munach. That can't be the case. Now, basically the Gemara tried to find a case which would be an hanocha on the roof. The Gemara is not satisfied. The Gemara never came to a valid conclusion, which it feels conclusively tells us that it's munach on the roof. So that's the case. Let me start asking you a question. Manan Taman Shein Tzorich Nicha, there, where there's no, in the case of Sefer Torah, where it's not lacking Anocha on the roof, and meaning it's about Akira, nonetheless, Adam Shinech, he's saying until it does Anocha on the ground, you can roll it back. Kach Tzorich Nicha, here where it's lacking Anocha on the roof. And there is no valid Akira. Lo Koshke should certainly be allowed to catch it on its way down. I'm Rabbi Chanina, could be right. Money, mikomakom, lo nach. Nevertheless, nevertheless, don't you have hanocha, right? You have hanocha in the guy's mouth. Since you have hanocha in the guy's mouth, right? So that's enough to be mechayiv you. Not to be mechayiv you. It's the rabbanon. It's the rabbanon because they have a melachas osur. Armelase says no, not by a case of water. We came to chain baruch of arba since to start off with. There's no 4x4. Afilu nach kilu lo nach. Even though it's nach at the end, since there was no proper akira, so therefore there's no reason to ask for it. I think I have an alternate shot in this last line here. We could say, Amalei became a shul baruch of arba is not going on the starting point, but rather on his mouth. Not on the starting point that the roof didn't have 4x4, right? Which well, the way I interpreted just now, but rather we could say this agrees with Gemara Amar Alf, which says that going down to the stomach is the hanocha. Rather, this Gemara holds that his mouth is the hanocha, saying that since when it goes into his mouth, it's not 4x4, so therefore that's not hanocha. So there's no reason to make a gzeira here. So the bottom line here is to Yushalmi to come to the conclusion that we don't know exactly the basis of the gzeira is either because there's no valid akira since the water is running down the roof, right? Or there's no valid hanocha since it's munach in his mouth, which is less than 4x4. But nonetheless, of course, the Mishnah stands and the gzeira exists nonetheless. Okay. Halacha Zayin. Bor Mishus Rabin. You have a Bor Mishus Rabin. It's rim is more than 10 tefachim high. Chalon shel gabav, a window which is over it, Mali Medim Shabbos can pull up water from it on Shabbos. Similarly, Ashmus Arabi, if you have a mound of garbage in Rishus Arabi, Gavah Sarah Tvachim, Tet Tvachim High, so you are lucky enough to have a window which fronts on that garbage dump. Chalon shel gabav, Shoykh Masoch Mayim Shabbos, they can pour water into that dump on Shabbos. So that's a very simple question. Einat Roya Omiki Gavah. I said, why does the bore need a chulia? Means it needs a rim, which is built up 10 tefachim. The bore is deep 10 tefachim. Does that not suffice? Isn't depth same like height? So why need a wall coming up? Let its walls going in suffice. So says Mar, an answer. She'em b'piv rochav arbo. So about a case where there was a very narrow well. It wasn't 4x4 tefachim wide. So that's why you need a rim built up on top of it, which is 10 fucking by 4 by 4, it's volume wide, in order to permit the window to use it. Ad kidun b'sasim, that's where it's closed. Closed doesn't mean really closed, it means close by. The well is close to the window. Haya mufla, what if the well is further from the window? What exactly extent of the distance is? It's not clear, the Gemara will discuss in a minute. Rav Shmuel Chanamar Noisines, so Rav Shmuel Hadamachlokas 1 says, you put a beam out. Like the ship, remember that in order to draw up water on a ship on Shabbos or Yontif, you stuck out a beam and drew up water through the beam? So, because it makes a symbolic rishus, so to hear the same thing, you make a symbolic rishus. Mandamar, Vachadamar, no, it's cut once, so you don't have to do that. What you do is very interesting, Eitz. I never saw this before. Here's the window. Here's the well. It's far away, right?
Here's the window.
So what you do is you put a kana here. What does the kana serve there? A post. It impedes the masses from walking through. If the only reason why the well would be disassociated from windows is if other people could walk through over here. So it would be an interruption. But if I put up a blockage here, so then they can't walk through, so then my affiliation remains even without the board jutting out over the water. Okay? It's a nice chiddush. So I've learned in the bottom, manamardah. I didn't know who said what. Shmuel said, even to do otsa above 10 tefachim is a shvus. One cannot carry above 10 tefachim. So therefore, he must hold that Hudain, Omar Noisines, he's the one who says he has to put a beam. Because he holds he can't carry above 10 tefachim without some sort of rectification. We can't possibly, you can. We hold some Malkum Tour, right? About 10 tefachim. But he holds you can't. So therefore, he must hold you need some rectification. So you actually need a beam going out from your window over the rail so you can carry on the beam back to your window. Okay? Hayush 9. What if there are two people equidistant from the well, two windows? Actually, the Gemara doesn't say what far away from the well is. I thought it did. The Bnei Moshe says the far away from the well is more than 4 tefachim away from the well. That's you need a peg or a beam when it's more than 4 tefachim away. Hayush 9. What if there are two people, one window on either side of the well? Trey Amorim. There's a machlokas between two Amorim. Chadamar Asura. Once you need to have a wall 10 tefachim high in the well to separate it into two parts. B'chadamar Abba. Once that all you need is a beam 4 tefachim over it, crosswise, which will divide it in two. Because you say pitikra. It's not a real pitikra, because a real pitikra requires walls besides the roof, but it's a symbolic pitikra, right? Mesim mandamar asur lumandamar arba. And according to the pitikra, say you need a wall of 10 tefachim. Master pitikra said, all you need is to be a 4 tefachim. Lo nim so, shnei rishuyas mishtam shos pshus achas. So you have two rishuyas using the same rishuyas. And that's forbidden. So why is symbolism enough? Ramalesa, he said a funny answer. I don't fully understand it. Rishusa Rabbi Mivatelis. He said the fact that there are public domains on either side of the well, even though they're not really public domains, the public domains that separate the two windows. I don't know if he means Rishusa Rabbi Mivatelis, but he means that here, look, this is my house and my window, and this is your house and your window, right? And here's the well. Okay, so here and is Rishus HaRabim, and here's Rishus HaRabim. And again, it probably could be a Carmelist too. But he says, Shtei Rishus Mishtam Rishus Achas is where we're tight. And both use the same Rishus. But where we're distant apart. And anyway, we're separated by Rishus HaRabim, so then we're not considered to be anyway vine, so to speak, here, and therefore a symbolic division is enough. I don't fully understand that, but that's what the Yerushalmi is saying, that since it's like where we had before, a ziz, which is samach to two chalonos, right? Which is mamash adjacent. But here, where there's some distance apart, so that diminishes the concept of the two vying for the use of the one rishus, and therefore a neser arba is enough, a symbolic separation, not a full separation of a mechitzah of tefachim. On that note, we will end for this week.